Hello, everyone. We welcome you all coming in. We thank you all for your patience as we begin our 11th grade parent night session. This session will end at 6:45 p.m. Again, we're going to give everyone another minute or two before we actually begin our session. Thank you all for coming in. Welcome in our Elkins and Ridgepoint parents. My name is Naretha Carter McLean, and we're going to give you guys another moment. It is 6:04, so at 6:05, we want to make sure that we're respecting everyone's time. We will get started. Right now, we have about 140 people who are participating, and we expect a few more, but we will get started in the next moment. It is 6:05, so in order to be respectful of everyone's time, we've allowed a little bit of time for people to go ahead and come in. My name is Naretha Carter McLean, and I have the honor and the privilege to serve as the College and Career Readiness Advisor for both Elkins Senior High School as well as Ridgepoint High School. I believe the last count, there was over 5,500 students that my office will be serving. And I am a part of two amazing teams. One at Elkins High School, our lead counselor is Dina Powis, and we have a host of other amazing counselors. Some of them are actually on tonight. And Ms. Kaylin Will is the lead counselor at Ridgepoint High School. So I want to go ahead and get started so that we will not interrupt anyone's evening or take up too much time. Please know that we do not have the chat on, but we do have the Q&A section on. So as you have questions, our team will do their best to answer them in real time. Okay? Again, we're not utilizing the chat. We will, however, be utilizing the Q&A. So please make sure not to utilize the chat. So without further ado, let me go ahead and get started. As you see, there's an amazing image of all of representing all of our high schools in the district. This is our combined Elkins High School and Ridgepoint High School parent night presentation. I just want to tell you a little bit about who I am since I have the honor of serving both Elkins High School and Ridgepoint High School. My name is Naretha Carter McLean. A little fun fact about me is that I'm the youngest of eight children. My father was a master plumber, and my mother was one of the first people to be African American females to be director of medical records in the city of Houston. So I spent a lot of time as a child at plumbing stores and at medical records rooms. So very, very interesting childhood. My focus has been on college, career, and military readiness for quite some time. One of the foundational questions that really has, I would say, guided my career is what is the difference between the haves and the have-nots? Is it education? Is it access? Is it opportunity? Or is it a combination of those things? I currently serve, if you could see my shirt, it has TACAC, which is the Texas Association for College Admissions Counselors, and I serve on the executive board as the co-chair for government relations because I am very much so interested in education policy and its impact on both workforce, educational, and economic empowerment. I work at Elkins High School Mondays and Tuesdays and every other Friday. Just to give you an example of the shared model split, I work at Ridge Point Wednesday, which is today. So I'm here at Ridge Point Thursday and every other Friday. So for this week, I will be at Ridge Point Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week. My information is here. I worked in higher ed for over 10 years exclusively, and then I served as a dual credit instructor for Houston Community College for approximately 8 years. I currently work in Fort Bend ISD. I am starting my 11th year. I have started my 11th year in Fort Bend ISD. For the first 10 years of my time in Fort Bend ISD, I worked exclusively at Elkins Senior High School, excuse me, with our amazing counseling team. So I'm going to go ahead and go to the next slide. If you see somebody named Miss Brand Sands, if you see someone named Miss Melanie, Kathleen Fay, Dina Powis, Kaylin Will, that those are individuals that are part of the teams that I have the honor of working on. So this is their information, just so you can know who they are. This is for the Elkins staff. There is an alpha split. You can see this on your left-hand side, which counselor handles what alpha split. And we do have some amazing support staff with counselor clerks, Ms. Andrea Adams, Ms. Mary Sullivan. So we have Ms. Dina Powis serving SN through Z. Those are students with the last name SN through Z. Ms. Kathleen Fay, she's serving students with alpha split A through CHA, their last names. Ms. Rasherika Wolf, her alpha split is CHB through G. Ms. Ivy James, her alpha split is H through LE. Miss Elisha Carter, her alpha split is LI through PAO. Miss Brayan Sands, her alpha split is PAP through SM. Again, those are the Elkins High School counseling staff members' alpha splits. Now for Ridge Point, we have an amazing team and they have welcomed me in, and I appreciate that. We have our lead counselor, Miss Kathleen Will. She has the alpha split U through Z. I also want to make sure I communicate this caveat. Both of our lead counselors, they have taken the lead for all dual credit programming matters. So these ladies would be your point of contact as it relates to anything and everything dual credit, and I believe also on ramps. Next, we have Miss Melanie Blaine Tanos. I believe I pronounced her name correctly. I'm gonna get it right, Melanie. Last name A through C is her alpha split. Miss Brandy Goodley, her last name alpha split is D through HE. Mr. Tim Hemlin, his alpha split is RE through T. Miss Jill, and I think how you pronounce her name is Shooter or Schuster. And that is Martin through RA. And Miss Angela White, her last name alpha split is HI through Marshall. And we have Miss Andrea Garcia. You'll notice that I have the privilege of working with two Andreas. One Andrea Adams at Elkins High School as our counselor clerk, and then we have Miss Andrea Garcia here at Ridge Point. So I wanted to talk to you guys about some changes that have been made. One is that we have a shared CCMR advisory model. And that means that I'm split between two campuses. They're sharing me in order to make sure that anything that deals with college, career, and military readiness is handled as it relates to programming, testing, and from an advising perspective. That also includes scholarships. A lot of people call me the money lady because if there's a scholarship, I'm going to try to find it and try to make sure my students provide are given an opportunity to apply and possibly to receive it. Also, SchoolLinks has replaced Naviance. We no longer have Naviance. Naviance is no longer here. Okay. So if someone says, well, just go to Naviance, that's no longer an option. So SchoolLinks has replaced Naviance. Okay. Next thing is there are some graduation requirements. We'll get to that the student's senior year, but please know that FAFSA is a requirement, CPR is a requirement. as well as peace officer training. Without those things, students cannot receive their diploma in the state of Texas. And then we have some district-wide programming. The idea behind the district-wide programming is because since we do have the share model, we want to ensure that no programming has been missed. And so we have pooled our resources and our brain power to ensure that there have been that the district res that the district programming opportunities still take place, if not on an individual campus level, that they will take place in a collective level. The first district program will be September 20th, and that is for a shared parent night for the district. I'm going to continue on. See, this is a senior year timeline. So if you have any seniors, this is for you. This is not necessarily for juniors, but this evening is for parents who have seniors. It's going to have a School Links one-on-one session as well as funding your future. You will see that there's also a college fair. There are actually two. There's one on October 4th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Thurgood at Travis High School. And that's on the other side of the district, obviously. And then for those on our side of the district, it will take place at Marshall High School from 6 to 8 p.m. on October 11th. Then on November 8th, there will be a special populations and academic support in higher education. I want you guys to think about students who have accommodations, who have 504, and want we have a parent who is actually a college and career readiness advisor. This is her passion. Her child actually is considered in a special population. So she's been doing her research and she knows this like the back of her hand. So this is her pet project and I look forward to attending it myself. Then on December 6th, it's important to note that the financial aid deadline, there's a possibility that it will move, but that the FAFSA form, which is a graduation requirement, is not going to open until December. Therefore, we wanted to make sure once it opens, that we provide opportunities for information to parents and students. So there will be a virtual financial aid for families and scholarships and School Links presentation for our district parents and students. Then there is a specialty schools, including HBCU, Historically Hispanic, HHSI, as well as Military Schools Academy program on January 24th from 6 to 7 p.m. Currently, it's a virtual event, but there's a possibility that it could be in person. And then we have our future focus, Rising Junior and Senior Night. We had that on last year. I believe it was on April 27th. This year, it is on March 20th. That is my pet project. I truly believe that prior preparation prevents poor performance. So therefore, our goal is to make sure that all current juniors and their parents know what the landscape is for how to get to college, what they need to do during the summertime instead of taking lazy summers, and definitely enjoying family vacations. But in between all those things, what can students do? Give me one second. I think I haven't moved and my my lights are on a motion control. So give me one second. If you would, as I turn the lights back on, please look at the timeline for what needs to occur for 11th graders during their 11th grade year in order to ensure that they are college and career ready. Okay, so I'm back. So it's important to make sure that students are starting their list in the fall about which colleges they're interested in, understanding their own abilities, their social and cultural preferences. This is going to be the year of list, the year of assessments. Students should be taking assessments in School Links, and they will learn more about that this semester as well as next semester. One of the assessments that they already took was called Find Your Path when they did their onboarding. Ask your kiddo, hey, did you onboard? Did you already onboard to School Links? And you will know if they did so, if they already invited you, or if you went in and actually make sure to connect on School Links as the parent. Also, the most important test that the students will take is going to be the PSAT test. I argue that their PSAT test is probably one of the most important tests that they're ever taking in their life. And people are like, you're just being a little dramatic. Well, I have friends that are on Wall Street and they tell me, hey, my PSA test score actually prevented me from getting this promotion because they wanted individuals with high PSAT score. I was like, get out of here. Come on. And they were like, no, because it has a certain level of prestige. I want, as parents and students, for you to liken a high PSAT score to the 11th grade year on a varsity athletic team, as far as how you get your athletic film. Many times, those athletes who are highly recruited, it's the 11th grade athletic film that gets the colleges excited, right? So your 11th grade PSAT, National Merit Qualifying Exam, is what's going to get colleges excited. I worked in the Honors and Scholarship Office at Texas A&M, and there's a process where colleges can purchase the names and contact email information and mailing address of students who have very high PSAT scores because it is one of the predictors of students' performance, right, in college. And so colleges that have a large number of students who have high PSAT scores, who are National Merit semifinalists, National Achievement, and National Recognition students, their ratings and rankings increase with the higher number. So the more number of students or the higher number of students with these prestigious titles and accolades, it increases the college's profile as well. So I call it interest convergence theory. It serves the interest of the student in order to be a high profile student as well as competitive for scholarships. And it serves the interest of the university or and or college to recruit students of that caliber. So the question is, what needs to happen? So today is, what day is it? It's September 6th. The students are going to take the exam on October 17th. So since they're going to take the exam on October 17th, they have about 6 weeks to get their business taken care of, to dot their I's and to cross their T's. I have a video here and I pray that it works effectively. I think that's my next slide because it is a little blurry, but what I want you guys to know is that this is the first year that the PSAT will be all digital. So I kind of want to give you guys a glimpse into what it's going to look like and what the expectations are. So go ahead and put on your to perk up your ears and make sure to squint your eyes to make sure to be able to see what I'm getting ready to share with you guys. So let me share this. I have my sound shared, and we're going to get started.
Get ready for the digital PSAT and MSQT. Here's how it'll work. Before test day, sign into the Blue Book exam app and head to the Practice and Prepare section. You can explore the tools and features of the app and try a few sample questions in the test preview, or take a full-length practice test. Your school will tell you if you're going to test with your own device or a school-managed device. Either way, make sure your device is fully charged. It'll need to stay on for roughly 3 hours. If you're bringing your own device, we recommend you bring a power cord or portable charger. You'll also need a pencil or pen. Scratch paper will be provided. You'll go through a quick check-in process and the test will be downloaded to your device. You'll also have a chance to enter your mobile phone number so you can access the Big Future School mobile app to get your scores delivered right to your phone. The digital PSAT and MSQT has two sections, reading and writing, and math. It should take you just over 2 hours to complete, not including breaks. Each section of the test has two parts, called modules, and each module is timed separately. You can move back and forth between questions in a module, and review your answers until time expires. There will be a break between sections. During the test, you'll have access to a set of tools. On all math questions, you'll find a reference sheet and a calculator. You can also bring an approved calculator. Use the annotation tool to highlight text or leave yourself a note. On multiple choice questions, if you think an answer option is wrong, you can cross it out. And you can mark for review any questions you want to come back to later. Zoom in and out using keyboard shortcuts on laptops or by pinching on tablets. If you have a problem during the test, click the help icon for troubleshooting tips. And you can always raise your hand to ask the proctor for help too. When the test is over, your answers will be submitted automatically. Wait until you see the congratulations screen to close your device. A few weeks after the test, we'll share your scores with you through the Big Future School mobile app and connect you with lots of great tools to help you plan for careers, college, financial aid options, and more. For more information, visit psat.org/digital.
Okay, I think we're good now. So right now what I'm showing you guys is which college admissions process best suits your student. Now I know this is kind of early, but we just got finished talking about SAT. It's important to start thinking like, okay, when my student finishes their SAT, what do we need to start thinking about as it relates to their application? Some people take a break and say, oh, we have plenty of time. But I want you to start thinking about what colleges, especially when they get their PSAT test scores, which colleges are going to be the best colleges as it fits their SAT or their ACT scores. Let me try to end this show really quickly. Give me 1 second to get back in. I'm going to share my screen. Okay. Now you guys should be able to see it. Okay, there we go. So what you should be looking at now is after your students finish their SAT, their PSAT. So they should get their scores back by December, if not the beginning of December, truthfully. But if not the beginning of December, prior to the Christmas break. So over the winter break, this will be a great time to have your students look at what colleges they should consider with their test scores. But I don't want you to think that the PSAT, the SAT, and the ACT are the be-all. There was an announcement that I just received in my email today. And it was talking about from the National Association. I told you guys I was on the executive board for the Texas Association for College Admissions Counselors. Well, next week, there is going to be our national convention, and it'll be converging. It'll begin in Baltimore, Maryland, I believe on the 13th of September. And they just released some information about what is considered the most important thing when you're considering admissions for students. And the number one thing was the top two things were the students' grades on their transcript. It did not say class rank, it said the grades on their transcript. It also talked about the fact that in the top, probably about, I think it said 76% was most important for 76% was if those students were had really good grades, because the research does indicate that a student's high school grades are a better predictor of their college success than an SAT or ACT score. However, I know I talked to you guys about just a few moments ago about the prestige of becoming a national merit and a national merit semifinalist. We know that this world is really has a stronghold on prestige, but colleges are really, really focusing on, especially During the pandemic and post-pandemic, there was already a movement for tests to be optional because some tests had been proven to have bias, either economic, ethnic, or cultural. That's why we also want our students to take the ACT test as well. We want our students to understand that only taking one test is not the best option for them. So we want our students to also take the ACT test. Okay. So with that being said, we want our students to focus on the courses that they're taking. If they're taking AP courses and they're saying, "Hey, mom, dad, it's too hard." If it's really too hard, then you consider the leveling down. But if the student is just not putting in the effort, remind them that the effort that you put into your AP courses or your courses in general really are preparing you for the next level. The question is, do you want to be prepared or do you want to be ill prepared? And the research is indicating that students that are in college preparatory classes are the most prepared for college, okay? In college preparatory classes or your AP, your pre-AP. Now, I want to quickly go over the types of applications your students will see in the next year, not this year, next year, that is coming out, and then that is Apply Texas. The reason why I brought this on this screen is because August 1, prior to their senior year, both of these applications will go live. Apply Texas usually goes live July 1st. Common App usually goes live August 1st or around that time. The profile for both of these applications takes between 30 minutes and 50 minutes. It's best that the student takes care of this prior to school starting, right? The essay topics for both applications will also be released in the spring of their junior year. So I don't know what kind of incentives you have for your kiddos. We're going to take you on this vacation. You're going to get whatever you want for prom. I don't know. But when your students have completed their application or at least their essays prior to school starting, it makes their senior year less stressful. My students always say, Ms. Carter McLean, I wish I would have listened to you my junior year when you told me to go ahead the summer after my junior year and finish my essays and my resume. Now, these are the QR codes to kind of tell you about what an Ivy League, an Ivy type, and a highly selective university, what those kind of universities are. I'm going to email out this presentation and it will also be posted to my website. Sometimes when I try to email out the presentations, they're too big because they have large media files. What I usually do when that occurs is when I email you with a link so that you can go to my website and you can download my presentations for you to refer to at a later date. I'll give you a quick synopsis. Ivy League schools are highly selective. Many times, name recognition does go a long way as it relates to the marketplace. Then you have open admissions in technical schools. I want you to understand this. We're going to celebrate your student if they're an electrician, if they're going to school to become an electrician, or if they're going to school to become an electrical engineer. I'll tell you why. Electrical engineers, they make good money. But electricians, right now, they're making a lot of nice money. Okay? Now, we all realize the importance of electricians and plumbers. During the ice storm of 2021, many times people say, oh, blue collar work, that's not the best option. What we're seeing is that there is a great retirement. Like we had the great resignation in 2000, 2001, 2002. There is a significant retirement of our tech industry. And for every eight plumbers retiring, we're getting one plumber in the industry. And that's why you get upset when you call a plumber and you can't get one, or when you do get one and you get the bill and you're wondering, did you get open heart surgery or did you just get a pipe replaced? Because those particular technical skills are in demand. And many times there's been such a push for our traditional idea of what a four-year college is that technical schools and technical programs have been overshadowed. I introduced myself at the beginning and I said that my father was a master plumber and my mother was a director of medical records. My father, who did not have a college degree, but was licensed and certified as it relates to plumbing, made more money than my mother, who went to University of Texas Medical Branch and was a leader in her industry. Why? Because plumbing is and always will be in demand. And we know that we also want HVAC because it's Texas and it's hot. But I'm gonna go ahead and take and get off of that step stool because we can talk about this all day. HVAC individuals that are trained and licensed, they make really good money. So we want to make sure that our students know that investing in post-secondary or college can look differently for different people. Everyone's not going to go to the dorms. Everyone's not going to move away. Everyone's not going to pledge a sorority or fraternity. But if they can acquire the necessary skills for them to be able to provide themselves and their family with a quality education, then they are productive citizens and we're excited for them. Again, the lights have gone off again. So I'm going to give you, let this QR code sit here. I think I have another QR code. I'm going to go ahead and let you guys review the top 10% rule. Because this is something that it seems like it is not going away. It has been going, it has been taking place for over 25 years in the state of Texas. So we can make sure that we understand the top 10% rule as it relates to ensuring that there has been access for all, no matter what high school the students go to. If in they're in the top 10%, then they have automatic admissions to almost all public schools except University of Texas at Austin, which is the top 6%, and it can meander between 6 and 8 any given year. Okay, so let's continue on. So this top 10% rule, this has been codified into law. Now, I do want to make sure that I explain what the top 6% rule is because it's not actually a top 6% rule. The actual law states that 75% of the incoming class for University of Texas at Austin has to come from the state of Texas. And so every year they do an equation to determine what that 75% will look like. And traditionally, that's between 6 and 8%. Okay, so 75% of the incoming freshmen at University of Texas at Austin who actually enroll are supposed to be from the state of Texas. And so that's why some years you hear top 6%, sometimes you hear top 7%, sometimes you hear top 8%. Okay, all right, let me continue on. Now, ACT versus SAT. I want to tell you all this. Yes, PSAT gives national recognition, but colleges do not care if your students take ACT or SAT for college admissions. What PSAT does is put your students on the radar of schools. That's why after your students take the PSAT, you will notice in your mailbox you're getting like flyers and t-shirts and pennants and pens from all these colleges that you've never heard of or you've never written to, or your kids, like, I don't know what college that is. That's because they fill out a survey. The colleges pay for their test scores. They usually have a cutoff score, or they're looking at a certain the student survey or the student's demographics, what the students say that they like. They want to go to a religious school. They want to go to a private school. They want to go to a co-ed school. They want to go to a public school. All those things. When the students fill out that survey, the colleges are purchasing that information and then they are reaching out to the students after they've taken their PSAT. First of all, the PSAT signals to the colleges that I'm interested in going to college, right? Next thing, for the ACT, a lot of times because it's out of sight, it's out of mind. What we have realized at Elkins High School, the 10 years I've worked there, is that a lot of our students don't take the ACT because they're used to taking the PSAT, so it's a natural connection for them to take the SAT, but the ones that take the ACT are knocking it out the water. Okay. I want to make sure I emphasize that. Not saying that every student will, but the ACT test is a curriculum-based test, meaning that if you took a certain math or English or science course, which is usually traditionally for courses that all students take, okay, it's a curriculum-based test. That if you're making A's and B's in those courses, that means that you've had mastery learning. So when you take the ACT, it should show up in your test score. So what I'm asking you guys to do is that is to have your students take the SAT and the ACT twice prior to or by October of their senior year. I don't believe that it would be advantageous for a student who is a junior to take the ACT test the fall of their junior year, but it would be appropriate in April, May, June, and on for them to take the ACT and the SAT the spring and summer of their junior year going into their senior year. Now, once you start taking the test in November and December, you kind of knock yourself out for early action and for scholarships, not for all schools, but for some schools. So that's when the early worm really does get like the early bird really does get the worm in this instance. So we want to make sure your students are taking advantage of that. Okay. These are the dates. I'm going to sit this right here so you can go ahead and take a picture if you would like. But again, I'm going to post this. These are the registration dates and these are the testing dates for both exams. Students often ask me, Ms. McLean, what's the website for ACT? And I say ACT.org and they say, oh, okay. And then for SAT, they're like, oh, it's SAT.org. I'm like, no, it's a College Board exam. So this is the website right here for how to register for the SAT exam. Okay, I'm gonna move on. Now I have one more video. It is about I think it's about 2 minutes long. And this is to tell you what School Links is. Again, School Links is replacing Naviance. Okay, so School Links, just an overview of it. School Links really focuses on making sure that students have a one-stop shop for everything college, career, and military ready. More so college and career. We do have the ASVAB exam, which will be taking place on the 24th at Elkins High School and the 25th at Ridge Point High School. Now, if you take the ASVAB exam, it does not mean that you're signing up for the military. I want to put that disclaimer out right now. The ASVAB exam is a really good exam to be able to determine the student's strengths and what career pathways. So, if you want your student to kind of learn about what they're good at and where they should focus, this is a really good exam. I will be releasing the sign up in the next week. So, please check your emails for that for students to go ahead and sign up for the ASVAB exam, which will be taking place again on the 24th at Elkins and the 25th at Ridge Point. We have a few more minutes and then we'll be wrapping up. Please know your students, as juniors, as well as when they become seniors, they will have two excused college visit absences. Okay? They will be able to go on college visits. Now, so this is my trick. Okay? The trick that I have is this. If you have a 3-day weekend, why not make it a 4-day weekend? I mean, come on. Okay? So, there's a 3-day weekend coming up, I believe, on the 29th of September. Go ahead and work with your kiddo and try to visit 2 to 3 colleges. And I know you're like, I can't visit 2 or 3 colleges. Let me show you. So let's say you're going to UTSA and you have an appointment for a tour at 8:30. Then you go to Texas State and you have an appointment for a tour at 12 or 11:45. Then you go to UT Austin and you have an appointment for a tour at 4 p.m. You have just gone to 3 schools and you have been able to tour 3 campuses in one day. Now, that may be a little bit too aggressive for you. I get it. But try to get 2 schools in that region in one day. Also, when the students are doing their tours, they have to make sure to go to the visitor center, and on letterhead, it will show that the students have come to visit with their name. I suggest that the students immediately take a picture on their phone and immediately email their attendance clerk. Okay? Then it's out the way. Also, come in that Monday or the next day that they come to school and bring proof on letterhead of their visit, but they always need to keep it in their phone. Okay? They get 2 days as juniors and 2 days as seniors. Now, money, money, money about college. There is a way in order for you to find out about scholarships. This is the QR code. I'm not going to play the video, but this is the QR code. Scan the QR code. Again, I'm posting this presentation. There is a way to find scholarships in School Links. I want you guys to know that there is a wealth of resources. I will begin to send out scholarship information regularly, but School Links has an abundance of resources for scholarships. Okay. Next thing is there are some ROTC scholarships, and there's the A&M Corps of Cadets. I want you guys to understand that it's important for the students to start early on these scholarships to determine if they want to actually serve in the military. Many of these scholarships do have a military component, and these scholarships are approximately $280,000. They pay for their tuition, their fees, and many times they give them a stipend. So that is an option. There's a QR code there. I know I'm doing death by QR codes, and I apologize, but it's just so convenient. Now, because I'm working at 2 campuses, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Do me a solid. Anytime you're sending out email communications and your student is sending out email communications, can we please use this type of email etiquette? I'm not saying that people don't have great email etiquette. I need to know the name of the student, what high school the student attends, their full name, and their student ID number. A greeting wouldn't be bad. Those types of things. A phone number that I can reach you at if I need to. I want to make sure that we're able to do Teams. If you email me and you say, hey, I want to do a quick meeting, I have 15-minute meeting intervals, and I will send you a link so that you can schedule a bookings meeting with me. It is a bookings meeting. That's the app, but the meeting will be on Teams, and we can proceed that way, okay? Because I believe in convenience and efficiency. I think that we're at the end. I thank you guys. I think we went over by 1 minute. It is 6:46 p.m. I know that we had some amazing counselors in our Q&A. I thank you all once again. I pray that this was helpful for you. I think some of the takeaways are, one, PSAT is super important, super important. That test takes place on October the 17th. Don't be afraid to say, hey, I'm gonna bribe you. I need for you to focus on this. Because here's the thing, the better their PSAT, the higher their chances to get into colleges that they're interested in and to get in with scholarships. So that means you can keep some of your retirement money to yourself. Okay, so PSAT, make sure they do their college visits. Make sure they take the SAT and the ACT beginning the spring of their junior year and start focusing on scholarships. The spring of their junior year, we will release Posse scholarship applications and QuestBridge scholarship applications. Those scholarships are between $100,000 and $200,000 if you are middle or low income. Again, I thank you, and we appreciate this the amazing Elkins High School and Ridgepoint High School counseling team, registrars, and our campus leadership and teachers. Thank you, guys.